the microphone off of my ear just in the event that I may have accidentally had it powered on. You guys would have heard my singing. So I did it to save you all from having to listen to my voice. It's not great. God doesn't care. That's why he gave me such a wonderful one, right? Okay. This morning, we're going to be continuing on in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 9 through 11 this morning. But before I do that, I want to back up because it has been 2 weeks since we were last in the book of Romans, and kind of want to review verses 6 through 8. So we're going to start by reading Romans 5, 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if you remember back 2 weeks ago, we had said that Paul's emphasis was on the fact that we were weak, that we were helpless, we were without hope. In fact, before our conversion, we were enslaved to sin. And all we had was the bondage of the will. I even went as far as to say our hearts were cesspools of sin and were completely and utterly despicable. We were nothing but corrupt. All that flowed out from us was sin. And that sin put us at odds with God. We had no virtue. We had no excellence. We had nothing that was worthy of the love of God. In fact, we were completely unworthy. Yet when the time was right, when everything was ready, God sent forth his Son, Christ Jesus, to die for sinners just like me. So that's where we're coming out of, and I want to look at our verses for today. 9 through 11. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Father God, this morning as we come before you, we are wanting to know you better. Father, we're wanting to understand what it means to be reconciled or made right with you. Father, those of us that are believers, we need reminded of the cost of our reconciliation. Father, for like we said moments ago, we were enslaved to sin. Our hearts were cesspools of corruptness and disgust. Father, we hated you. We were without hope. And you looked down upon unworthy sinners just like me and would send your Son, Jesus Christ, to die so that we could be made right. Father, I know that reconciliation and being made right with you is something that I often put to the back of my mind. Father, I get focused on the day-to-day activities of this life, and I forget just what it took. Father, as we study this morning, I hope we can all be reminded of the fact that while we were your enemies, while we hated you, that you chose to adopt us, to make us right. Father, you've given us the privilege of calling you Father. You've shown us what true love is. You've given us hope and joy. And you've given us the strength to withstand the schemes of the devil. Father, I pray this morning as we go through your word that our minds and our hearts would be set towards you. That, Father, we wouldn't gain just head knowledge, but the things that we hear and what we read would filter down into our hearts, and that we could be made more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in his name. Amen. Reconciliation. As I think I've told most of you, I'm kind of a word nerd. I like words and I like what they mean. And a few years ago, I bought a dictionary that was Noah Webster's Dictionary to the Americas from 1828. And in this dictionary, he uses scripture to define what things mean. And so I quickly today whipped out my Noah Webster's Dictionary to the Americas, 1828 edition. For those of you that are also word nerds, I highly recommend it, to just see what it said. And it defined reconciliation this way. It says, the act of reconciling parties at variance, renewal of friendship after a disagreement or enmity, reconciliation and friendship with God really form the basis of all rational and true enjoyment. In Scripture, the means by which sinners are reconciled or brought into the state of favor with God after natural estrangement or enmity, the atonement. The atonement. Being made right. Oftentimes, when we go through our lives and we're caught up in the things of this world, we, like I said, we forget that we were reconciled, that we were made right with God. And if we do remember the fact that, yo, I was reconciled to God, I was made right, we somehow discount who we were pre-reconciliation or salvation. We don't like to think of ourselves as being transgressors. We don't like to think of ourselves as being wretched and awful. We don't like to think of ourselves having a disdain and a hatred for God. But that is exactly who we were. Before you encountered the cross, you had no desire for God. Before you were driven to your knees by recognizing your sin, you were completely lost. When you think back to the moment of your salvation, to the moment that you encountered the cross, to the moment you were face to face with Jesus, how do you feel? For some of us in the room, it's been many, many years, so that memory kind of fades. For others, we haven't been saved very long at all, so the memory is fresh. But when you encountered Christ on the cross, how did you feel? Now, typically, when I ask that question, most people will tell me, I felt great joy. I felt excitement. I felt relieved. I didn't feel any of those things. I felt sorry. I felt awful. I felt wretched. You see, God was doing something for me that I did not deserve. He was taking me from being his enemy to not merely his friend, but he was making me his child. I was reconciled, made right, and adopted because of the work of the cross. Look for me, if you will, at Ephesians 2:16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. How did we get reconciled? How was the enmity gone? How were we made right? The cross. This morning we read from 2 Corinthians where we said that all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Again, we're pointing back to the cross. You were reconciled, you were made right, you were forgiven, you were adopted because of the cross. Did you deserve it? No. Do you forget just how expensive your free gift was? I certainly do. Sometimes I even take it for granted that God has made me right and he's adopted me. Therefore, I must be okay. I don't like to think about who I was prior to conversion. And I certainly don't like to think about who I am when I still sin. Oftentimes I make excuses for my actions, my attitudes, and my behavior. Instead of saying, "Why are you chasing after fleshly desires? Why are you giving in to the things of this world? Why are you putting out of your mind the fact that God saved a sinner like you?" There are times when I'm doing what's wrong, when my wife lovingly reminds me that I'm not perfect, that I'm not even close. In fact, she might even say, "I'm really, really, really far away from perfect." That I think, what does this mean for me? When she reminds me that I'm not perfect, what is my response? Do I believe her? Do I accept it? Do I thank her for pointing out my faults? She shook her head no before I even got the word faults out. Thanks. I don't. In fact, I get defensive. I get angry. I get upset. But why do I get upset? Why do I get angry? Why do I hate that she's holding me accountable for my actions? The answer is because I don't like to think of myself is being wrong. I don't like to think of myself as doing things that are outside of what God would have me do. I forget that Christ reconciled me to God. I forget that I was given the ability to call him Abba Father because of the cross. If we forget the cross, we forget Christ. If we forget the cross, We forget the free gift that we received wasn't free at all. What are the blessings of being reconciled to God? I'd say that we have peace, but why do we have peace? We have peace because of the blood of Christ. We have peace because a holy, perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, would die on a cross for sinners like us. As I look out in the room, I find comfort knowing that each and every one of you are sinful. That's kind of a funny statement, right? I take comfort in knowing that you're sinful. Why do I take comfort in knowing that you're sinful, Dan? Because we are all the same. I take comfort in knowing that you're sinful because I know that you too needed to be reconciled to God through the cross. I take comfort in knowing that we are all sinful because that means there's hope. You see, I'm not perfect. I'm not spotless. I could never be an atonement. But I find peace and joy and comfort in knowing that Christ, who was those things, died for a wretched, wicked, awful sinner just like us. Is there any burden to being reconciled to God? And I use the word burdened. Maybe I should use the word responsibility to being reconciled to God. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. It says, "We have been given the ministry of reconciliation." What does that mean? That we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. Does that mean that Kevin doesn't have to do anything? That Kevin was reconciled to God, therefore Kevin is okay, and Kevin has no responsibility? What does it mean that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation? Well, if we've been justified by his blood, and we have been saved from wrath through him, and he did it while we were enemies. He reconciled us and we're saved by his life. And we have joy through Christ and we've received the atonement. What is our responsibility for this reconciliation? Jackie, I'm going to pick on you because you don't mind. Perfect. And even if you said yes, I still would have, so. How were you reconciled to God? But how were you made right? Through the blood of Christ. How did you hear about reconciliation and sin and depravity and all of these things? Was it because Kevin, who is saved, sat there quietly and said nothing? Was it because Dan and Beth took their salvation and hid it from the world? No. What is your responsibility if you've been reconciled through the blood of Christ? To go out and proclaim the gospel. You see, we've received all of these things, and we were saved by the cross when we were enemies, and God has commanded us and given us the privilege of going out and proclaiming his truth. He's given us the privilege and the right to go out and tell the lost world around us exactly who we were and who he is. He has given us the privilege to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we were alienated from God by our wickedness and our wicked works. But at some point in time, someone proclaimed the gospel message to you. And God used that gospel message to save a wretched sinner just like me. So what is your responsibility for reconciliation? Mr. Connor, it's not to sit there and think about Rubik's Cubes. It's not to sit there and be quiet. It's to go out into the world and proclaim the truth of who Jesus is. You see, we proclaim the truth of who Jesus is because we serve a risen Savior. We serve a God who said, hey, you were dead in your trespasses and sins and you deserve nothing, but I'm going to send my Son to die in your place. I'm going to send my Son Jesus to suffer on a cross. I'm going to send my Son Jesus to live a perfect life and to receive at the end of his earthly life the wickedness and the wrath of not only man, but my wrath. Do you ever think about the fact that God the Father looked down on his Son who was hanging on a cross with a crown of thorns, having been beaten and stripped of his clothing? He looked down on him and said, I'm going to pour out the wrath and the judgment that Ryan deserves on my own Son. Do you ever think that way? It's pretty humbling. It's pretty humbling to think that he hath quickened us who were dead in our trespasses and sins. He made us alive, according to Ephesians 2:1. He made us alive. I didn't do it. He made us alive. How? How did he make you alive? Do you know how he made you alive? Dan? How? He made it happen, right? He reconciled us, and he made us alive, and he made us his children. And what amazes me most about him making us alive and his children is he did it when we were filled with the lust of the flesh. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh. We had wicked and corrupt minds. We had hearts that were cesspools of sin and depravity. We were children of wrath. We followed after the prince of darkness. We were enslaved to sin. We were just bad. But God chose to quicken us. He chose to make us alive, and he used people just like you to proclaim the gospel message. What is that gospel message? Is it broad and general? Or is the gospel message very precise? Is the gospel message that God has a wonderful plan for people? Is the gospel message, Jesus wants to be your friend? Is the gospel message that God looked at wicked, wicked, awful sinners, just like you and me, who were without hope, who were lost, and took mercy upon us? Is the gospel message that Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life, and that he died, and that he rose again. Is the gospel message that he wants you to follow him if you've claimed him? The gospel message says that only God could rescue a sinner like Dan and like Ryan and like the rest of us that are here. When we think about the gospel message and our salvation and being rescued, and we understand that we were justified or made right, but it could only happen by his blood. We understand that we were saved, but what were we saved from? We were saved from God's wrath that we deserve, and it was by his blood. We were reconciled to him by his blood. We were given the ministry of reconciliation because of his blood. You see, the blessings of reconciliation or the promises of reconciliation are that God will never cast us out. That there isn't one person or one thing that will ever pluck you out of his hand. And because we've been reconciled, because we've been adopted, because we've been made right, we have the privilege of proclaiming that message to the lost world around us. Colossians 1:20 through 22, please. Dan, it's never good when I go off my notes. Might be a 1:30 kind of day. In having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, present you holy and unblemished and approved in his sight. That's who we are. We have peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have comfort because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he did it while we were his enemies. You see, we were delivered from our offenses and raised to justification. We were made right, justified. We were declared not guilty, even though you are. And it's not like you're getting away with something. You see, God knows that you're guilty, but he has chosen to provide mercy unto you. When I was a child, sometimes I would feel like I was getting away with something. Sometimes it might be something minor, like I snuck an item into the grocery cart without permission. And I might feel like I really got away with one. Now, typically, for an offense like that, there would be repercussions. And those repercussions weren't always fun. But sometimes my grandparents would graciously allow me to feel like I got away with one. And sometimes when we would get home, Grandma might even say things like, "How did these fruit snacks get in the bag?" And without hesitation, I would zip it real quick. I'd say nothing. In fact, I might even go as far as to play dumb. But she knew. She knew exactly what happened. She saw them on her receipt. In fact, she unloaded them from the carts. She was giving me the opportunity, perhaps, to come clean. Or perhaps she was just letting me know that I really hadn't gotten away with anything, but she was showing me mercy. Was I guilty of disobedience? Absolutely. Was I guilty of doing what I knew was wrong? Absolutely. But sometimes they would show me mercy and grace. They wouldn't hold that against me. Because you have been reconciled to God, because you've been justified, because you've been made right through the blood of Christ, it's not like God is unaware that you were sinful. God isn't confused in saying, well, I don't think Dan ever did anything wrong. No, God looks at Dan and he says, Dan, you're wicked and awful, but because of the blood of Christ, because you've bowed the knee to my son Jesus, I'm going to look at his perfect life as if it were yours. And I'm going to account your transgressions to him, and they were paid for on the cross. God offers reconciliation or a right life or a right standing or adoption to those that believe. And this is one of the things that I don't quite understand, is that God knows that I'm awful. And he's forgiven me, and he's reconciled me, and he's made me right, but he required me to accept the gift. Yet in my natural state, before salvation, there was nothing in me that wanted to accept that gift. There was nothing in me that said, Ryan, you need to turn to God. But for some reason, somehow, someone proclaimed the gospel message to me, and I couldn't refuse to follow. I couldn't refuse to seek forgiveness. I don't understand how it works, but I know that I often cried and wept over my sins. I know that my sins have been forgiven. And I know that in this lifetime, because of the blood of Christ, because I've been reconciled, because I have the ability to not sin, that I shouldn't. Yet I promise you, today on the way to church, I can think of at least two occasions when I had wrong thinking, wrong thoughts. And I can tell you, while listening to Dan in Sunday school, I had at least one or two more. And when I think about the fact that I still sin and I continue in sin and that I'm wrong and that I'm still given over to wickedness at times, it makes me want to weep. But God forgives my sins. I have a responsibility to let God know, and I don't know if responsibility is the right word, but I have a desire to let God know that I am sorrowful over my sins. Are you sorrowful for your sins? How can we, as people who claim Christ, who have been washed by the blood of Christ, who have been forgiven and reconciled because of the cross to a resurrected Savior still fall short. How? If I knew the answer, I would share it with you. But the one thing that I do know is that even though I still fall short, that Christ paid for my past, my present, and my future sins. But that doesn't give me a license to go on and continue in sin, does it? No. But it gives me assurance of eternal life. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 9 through 11. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be dead to sin. But know that when you sin, that your risen Savior still loves and forgives you. Know that Christ died and rose again, and that when you were reconciled and received salvation, you also received the Holy Ghost, who is a promise. He's a promise and the indwelling Spirit of God that lives in you. Do you realize that you have the Holy Spirit alive, living in you if you have claimed Christ? Do you realize that He is there to comfort you? But He's also the great confronter. And what I mean by He's the great confronter is that when we sin, and you will, and your wife points it out to you, and you hate it and you despise it, you know who convicts you of the fact that you're wrong? It's the indwelling Spirit of God who confronts you over the wrongdoing. But He's also the same indwelling Spirit of God who gives you comfort knowing that you have been made right with God through the blood of Jesus, and that no one, no thing can take you from Him. Christ was raised from the dead. He defeated death in the sting of death and sin. Now we have a ministry of reconciliation, we said, and we're going to look at Romans 5:11 quickly here, and we'll be moving on. I just have 7 more pages of notes. That's not a joke. I'm kidding. The ministry of reconciliation, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement, which is, we're talking about being made right and being reconciled. Because we've been reconciled, there is more to this life than just existing. There's more to life than just going to church and showing up. There's more to life than being quote-unquote good. There's more to life than memorizing in your mind Bible verses. There's more to life than just having pleasant circumstances, and certainly we're not trying to accumulate wealth, and I don't even think that we're necessarily looking for good health. What we're looking for in this life, what the ministry of reconciliation has, and what it says is that because God reconciled us, because He made us right, because He has blessed us, that we need to be a blessing to others. You see, you don't need to have an I problem, meaning you think about yourself. You need to have vision that says, I am looking out for my brother and my sisters who are in Christ. You need to have vision that says, God has given me reconciliation. He's made me right. I've been justified by the blood of Jesus. And because of that, I'm going to go out and proclamate the word of God. I'm going to study to show myself approved. I'm going to learn scripture, not here, but here in my heart. I'm going to allow scripture to filter through my life so that when I speak, God speaks. When someone comes to me for advice or for knowledge on what to do, I'm not going to give them worldly wisdom. I'm going to have studied to point them to what God has said. When someone is lost and confused and hurting and feels hopeless, I'm not going to go, better them than me. I'm going to look at them with compassion. Because when I was that way, God looked down at me and forgave me. And that is the only reason that I have joy, and that is the only reason that I have hope. So when I see someone lost and hurting, I naturally want them to have that same joy and that same hope that is made possible because of the reconciliation we have with God. Dan may disagree with me, but I'm going to make a statement here that the reason this church exists and the reason this body exists is not for us, but for everyone else. Does your life show that you've been reconciled and made right? Does your life show that God has forgiven you? If it does, are you being a blessing and a joy to the world around you and to your brothers and sisters that are in Christ? Father, we thank you this morning that we could look at the fact that we've been reconciled or made right with you. Father, we're thankful that we've been made right, and we understand, Father, that it was only because of Christ that we could be reconciled. Father, we all were once your enemies. Father, we were against you. Father, we even hated you. For Father, we were caught up in the things of this world, and we wanted nothing but pleasure. Father, we didn't realize that there was emptiness inside of us that no amount of items or things could fill. Father, it's because you had reconciled people unto yourself through the blood of your Son Jesus that I heard the gospel message. And because of that gospel message, Father, I was made right. I bowed the knee to your Son Jesus. Father, I know in this room today there are people who have been saved for years and there are people who are newly saved. But Father, I also know there are people who haven't bowed the knee to you. Father, I pray that they would realize that they are sinful, that they are lost, and that they are without hope. Father, I pray that you would convict them of their sin, that you would convert their cesspool-filled hearts of sin to hearts that live and beat and breathe for you. Father, we pray that they would be converted and adopted as your children. Father, as we finish up in song this morning, I want us to remember that it's all about you. It's all about Christ. Father, we pray these things in his name. Amen.